Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio series. This series represents another step in accomplishing Grandian Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each presentation features a different national speaker or business owner sharing dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Vince Lombardi won a lot of NFL championships because he consistently taught the foundational basics to players that should have already understood them. This presentation on business etiquette will also feature on many things we should all know, but surprisingly few actually follow. Proper business etiquette can make or break a sale. This presentation will cover the four key areas of business etiquette. Reviewing and following these simple reminders can literally separate you from your competition. If you don't impress the customer, someone else will. Barbara Pector has delivered more than 1,600 seminars throughout the world. Her client list boasts many of today's most notable organizations, including NASA, Merck & Company, Microsoft Corporation, Pfizer, Campbell's Soup, University of Michigan, GlaxoSmithKline, NCAA, and Chrysler. Her advice on business communications has been featured in dozens of today's newspapers and magazines, including O Magazine, Chicago Tribune, USA Today, Working Women, Washington Post, Cosmopolitan, Reader's Digest, The New York Times, and Time Magazine. She has also been seen on CNN's Anderson Cooper Show, ABC's 2020, and Weekend Today. This presentation allows our listeners the opportunity to pick up a few tips on business etiquette from the best in the business. Now sit back, relax, and take a few notes as Barbara shares her thoughts on business etiquette tips for success.
Welcome to Outshine the Competition, Business Etiquette Tips for Success. As a small business owner, your customers expect you to cater to them. And if you don't pay attention to them, you can be sure your competition will. Let me share some stories with you. During an informal meeting with a potential customer, the business owner responded to some urgent texts under the table. But the customer wanted his undivided attention, and as a result, the customer gave his business to the competitor. Another man took a potential customer to dinner, and during that dinner, he licked his knife and the potential customer took his $30 million worth of business someplace else. It was a $30 million lick, and it was costly. And a small florist replied, "I think we can do that," after her customer asked about placing an order that would have been her largest order ever. The customer wasn't convinced that she could do the work, and she went elsewhere. Each of these business owners lost work as a result of how they presented themselves to the potential customer. In each of these cases, it was what the business owner said or did that caused the customers to take their business elsewhere, not the cost of their services or products. And what they said or did falls into the category of making business etiquette blunders. So what is business etiquette, and why does it matter? Business etiquette is a set of protocols or guidelines that allow you to present yourself professionally through your words, actions, and appearance. And as a result, you can outshine the competition as you develop the relationships you want to develop. A reporter recently asked me, "Why do you need to teach business etiquette? Don't people know this stuff? It's not rocket science." And my response was, "Yes, that's true. It's not rocket science, but it is an invaluable skill set. And it is a skill set that not everybody has. Good manners are not always taught at home. And even when they are, new guidelines are always appearing since business etiquette evolves with the times. Think about the BlackBerry or Facebook. Your mothers couldn't have taught you to be polite with them. They didn't exist when most of us were growing up. It's also a skill set that not everybody practices. People often think they are demonstrating good manners, but when they monitor their behavior, they often find out that they're not doing what they thought they were. This audio presentation will go through the four areas of business etiquette that will affect you and your customers. They are: 1, rapport building, which is establishing connections with your customers. Two is professional presence, how you present yourself to your customers. The third area is business dining. How do you handle yourself at a business meal? And the last is techno etiquette, how to communicate with your customers using technology, from the more established ones, like email, to the newest ones, like Facebook. Think about your own business and your interactions with your customers as we go through these items. Are you practicing them and practicing them correctly? And if not, would you be more likely to stand out from your competition if you did? Many of the items I discuss will be little things, such as using a salutation with an email or shaking hands correctly. But please don't ignore them just because they are little things. You put all these little things together, and they create this impression of you. And it can work for you or against you. You want it to work for you. So let's get started. As I just mentioned, rapport building is the first area. This is your ability to connect with your customer, potential customers, your employees, vendors, and anybody else you come in contact with during your day. Let me ask you some questions. Do you greet people? Are you shaking hands correctly? Are you sure? What about your ability to mingle and make small talk? Each of these areas will allow you to make an initial positive connection with your customers and pave the way for maintaining a relationship or forming new ones. The first item is handshaking. And I get more questions about the handshake than any topic I teach. I keep saying my next book should just be on the handshake. In the U.S., the handshake is the business greeting, and you will be judged on the quality of your handshake. There are a couple things to remember when you go to shake hands with someone. The first is that both men and women need to stand. Standing helps establish your presence. It's easy to be ignored if you don't. Even if you're caught off guard and you can't get up, you lean forward and you still give the indication that you would if you could and you know you should. And during my seminars, when I go around introducing myself to the participants, I'm surprised at the number of people who do not stand. And when they get feedback from me, nicely of course, that they hadn't stood, most of them are surprised. It's also important to shake hands correctly. What assumptions do you make about someone who gives you a limp handshake? Yes, I know that they are weak. And in reality, it may have nothing to do with the person's personality. But these are the assumptions people jump to. To make sure your handshake sends the right message, extend your hand with your thumb up. You touch thumb joint to thumb joint, put your thumb down, wrap your fingers around the palm of the other person, and it should be firm but not bone-breaking. 2 to 3 pumps is enough. And then, the question I get is, how long do you hold the handshake? And I respond, it's like a kiss. You know when it's over. Now let me ask you a question. Do you greet and acknowledge people as you go about your day? This is different than shaking hands. This is saying hello to people. Because the person that you say hello to on the way to the meeting may be the potential customer sitting next to you at the meeting, and you've already established minor rapport. It is important to say hello, good morning, hi to people you know and don't know as you go about your day. It's amazing that I have to remind people of this simple guideline, but it's clear to me that I do. One of the most common complaints I hear is that people don't bother to say hello or offer a simple greeting. And then they say, why do I want to do business with someone if they ignore me? Many people don't realize that they are not saying hello, including the people who complain about others not doing it. I was teaching for a group of regional salespeople, and when they arrived for the training, many of them went into the coffee room. Not one of those sales representatives said hello to any of their administrative staff that was in the room. Yet when their manager walked into that room, every sales rep said hello to him. The administrative staff was ready to kill. They said to me, "You tell those people they have to say hello to us." So during the training, I asked the participants the question I just asked you. Do you greet and acknowledge people as you go about your day? They all responded, yes, absolutely, we're all salespeople. What about the office staff, I asked. And again, they all responded, yes, absolutely, we're all salespeople, we say hello. I then told them what happened that morning in the coffee room, and they were all shocked. We think we greet others. We know to do it, but we don't always do it. Monitor yourselves over the next few weeks and make sure that you are. It's now time for small talk. And small talk allows you to get to know your customers and for them to get to know you. And you will feel more comfortable talking to others if you are prepared for small talk. Read the daily newspaper and know what's going on in the world. Read your professional journals and newsletters and know what's going on in your field. Other good topics include vacations, sports or family, if everyone is interested, the holidays, your business activities, the current surroundings that you find yourself in, non-controversial current events, and of course, entertainment. Stay away from sex, politics, and religion. Let me say that again. Stay away from sex, politics, and religion. People have strong opinions about these items, and their viewpoints may be very different than yours. And as a result, it can be very easy to get into heated, very heated, inappropriate debates. You can ask questions to get your customers talking and then make comments about the answers to continue the conversation. If you ask the customer about his vacation and then he or she responds that they had a great time skiing out west, you can mention your skiing experience or that you've always wanted to try to ski. When you share common interests, it helps create the connection between you. But be cautious with humor. Humor can add a lot to your conversations, but you can bomb badly. When in doubt, leave humor out. You're now ready to start mingling. Mingling is a business skill. It's a way for you to meet new customers and stay in touch with your existing ones. I'm going to go through a number of suggestions since many people tell me that they are uncomfortable mingling. The first is to go to any mingling event with a positive attitude. If you go to a social situation thinking you will have a horrible time, you know what? You will have a horrible time. If you go thinking, I can mingle, I can have an interesting good time, you're much more likely to have a positive experience. The second one is to practice. The more you go to social activities and mingle, the better you get at them. Set a goal for yourself that for the next few months, you will go to a certain number of social events, one a month, one a week, to just practice your skills. The next item is to dress appropriately. Wear clothes that fit well, that you feel good in, and that are appropriate for the event or the activity you are attending. It's hard to mingle with confidence if you're dressed inappropriately. If you don't know what to wear, ask the organizer of the event or others that are going to the event for suggestions. The next item is to keep your body language open. I see a lot of people at business social events that appear standoffish. They stand with stern facial expressions, they cross their arms, they wring their hands, or they stand against the wall. You want to appear approachable. Walk in like you belong at the event. Look at people and have a smile on your face. And remember, if you don't look or act nervous, people won't know that you are uncomfortable. The next step is to initiate and have discussion. And here are four straightforward ways to do that. The simplest is to talk to people next to you while you're in line for food or drink. You can make a positive comment about the food or the surroundings, and often you're then into conversation. Another way is to go up to the person who is by him or herself. Most people are grateful for the company. Say hello, introduce yourself, and shake hands. You can ask that person a question or make a comment. If the person responds back, you're into conversation. If the person seems disinterested, excuse yourself and move on to the next person. If you're sitting down at the table, turn to people on either side of you and say hello and introduce yourself. You can then get into conversation and join larger groups. Two-person groups are usually in private conversations and therefore usually more difficult to join. Large groups are less private, and there's usually space between people, so you can subtly maneuver in, listen for a while, and when appropriate, you can add to the conversation. The next is don't drink too much. Some people drink to feel more comfortable in social situations, but it can really backfire on you. You may say or do something you wouldn't normally say or do. One young man got so drunk at his company's holiday party, cursed out his boss, got fired on the spot, and then couldn't understand why his badge didn't work the next day. He had gotten fired and had no recollection of it. If you do decide to drink, stick to the one drink rule, or pick a drink that you do not like, and you can nurse that drink all evening. Lastly, when mingling, use exit lines. Not only do you need to say hello, you need to say goodbye and use an exit line. An exit line makes leaving less abrupt. You can simply say, "Nice talking to you, good to see you, or I hope to see you again soon." There are also two other items that I want to quickly mention before we move on to the next area. And the first is to make sure you remember to say please and thank you. They are simple words that we know to use, but in our hectic world, we can forget to say them. They express kindness and appreciation, and your customers will want to hear them from you. The other item is to remember to send thank you notes. You send a note after meeting with a potential customer, receiving a gift, or going to a meal or a party. You can also send thank you notes to people who provide extra help for you, or when you want to praise an employee or a vendor. Using email is the quick, informal way to say thank you. Using a handwritten note is the more personal way. The next area we're going to discuss is professional presence. It's the second main area of business etiquette. You can blow your credibility with your customers by not paying attention to how you present yourself to them. Yet many people do not know what image they project when they walk into a room, attend a meeting, or meet a new customer. You have no control how others see you. You only control what you project out to them. Pay attention to the following items as we go through them so you will fine-tune your professional image. Your postures and gestures make up the first item. Notice yours. Do you stand tall? Do you look confident? No slouching or swaying. You look insecure when you do. Watch out for your gestures. Don't cross your arms, point your finger, or pound your fist. They make you seem aggressive. If you wring your hands, play with your hands, you appear passive. Avoid any distracting mannerisms. No playing with your hair, rubber bands, or paper clips. People watch these distracting mannerisms and stop listening to you. Next, be aware of what I call your standard facial expression. And that is, what do people see when you are looking at them, listening to them, or just not talking? And many people have very stern facial expressions and don't even realize it. I've had people in the first row of my seminars, and you may have experienced this in your meetings, but based upon their facial expression, I am saying to myself, these people hate me, and I think they hate everything I am saying. Yet invariably, they are the ones who come up to me at break and say, "Oh, thank you, Barbara, what a great seminar." What I want to say to them, but I don't, because I teach etiquette, is tell your face. You can learn to control your facial muscles. Watch yourself on a recording. Learn what you're doing with your face. If you do what I call smile through your eyes, you will eliminate the sternness. The third item is to pay attention to your wardrobe. Clothing can either enhance your professional reputation or detract from your credibility. Anything that is exaggerated or overdone will take away from your professionalism. Before you go anywhere, ask yourself, is what I'm wearing appropriate? You want to be remembered for what you said, not for what you wore. Buy good quality classic items. They are usually made better, last longer, wear better, and don't go out of style as quickly. Your clothing also needs to fit properly without overemphasizing body parts. If you are uncomfortable shopping and unsure of what to buy, establish relationships with salespeople at good stores. They can help you find clothes that are suited to you and let you know about any upcoming sales. And remember that people notice shoes. It's one of those little details that add polish to your professional presence. I had a recruiter tell me that one of the first things he notices about a candidate are his or her shoes. It means you are paying attention to the details. Make sure your shoes are in good condition with no scuffs or worn down heels. The next item is to sound as good as you look. Speak loudly enough to be heard, and you'll be amazed at how many people don't. If you find that you're interrupted a lot, or people do not respond when you say something, it's very possible that you are not speaking loudly enough to have what you say register on others. When your volume is low, it becomes easy for people not to listen to you. Start learning your voice image. Listen to yourself on your voicemail messages before you send them. Practice raising your volume until you hear yourself speaking with strength. And the last item is to choose your words wisely. Don't say, "I think," when you know. You come across as tentative if you do. There's a big difference between, "I think the meeting is at 3 p.m. or "the meeting is at 3 p.m. If you don't know, you can say, "I think." But why are you saying, "I think," when you know? And your customers want you to know. Also, eliminate filler words. They are the ums, okays, you knows, all rights that people add to their sentences instead of pausing. They can distract others and make you seem unprepared. If your customers are counting your use of ums or okays, they are not listening to you. And as I just mentioned, the exercise of listening to your voicemail messages before you send them can also help you gain awareness of your word choice. The third area of business etiquette that we're going to talk about is dining. And how do you handle yourself at a business meal? Because it does matter. When you are sharing a meal with potential customers, they are not just looking to see if you're slurping your soup. It is an opportunity for them to find out what type of person you are. Will you be someone that they are comfortable working with? Are you self-assured with social graces? If you create a welcoming and gracious atmosphere when entertaining, you will put your customers at ease and let them know that you're someone who can take charge of situations. All good qualities to have. If you invite someone to a meal, you are the host, and as a result, it is your responsibility to do a number of things. They include, the first thing, selecting an appropriate restaurant. Make sure the restaurant has good food and the atmosphere is conducive to talking. If there's a lot of loud music or TVs, it will be difficult to hear conversation. Ask your host about any dietary restrictions beforehand. You don't want to choose a steakhouse if your guest is a vegetarian. Make sure you make a reservation and arrive early to welcome the guest. It is also your responsibility to make menu suggestions. Suggest foods that are relatively easy to eat. Avoid spaghetti, French onion soup, wings, or ribs. They are way too messy. If you want the meal to go longer, suggest an appetizer. And if your guest orders one, you need to also. I call this keeping the table balanced. You don't want your guest to be the only one at the table who is eating. If you are concerned about your budget, be cautious with specials. Often waiters do not give the cost of them, and they can run 10 to 40% more than any of the regular menu items. Use good table manners. Hold your knife and fork correctly. People get nervous about dining with customers. There really isn't a lot to worry about, but how you hold your knife and fork matter. People notice. You do not want to hold the fork like a pitchfork, and unfortunately some people do. The top of the fork should not be visible. It's inside the palm of the hand, and you maneuver the fork with your index finger and thumb. The knife is held the same way. Speaking of utensils, know how to read a place setting. The general guideline is that you use the utensils from the outside and work your way in. Each course should have its own set of utensils. Do not talk with your hands and hold utensils in them at the same time. You can hurt someone. A couple of other don'ts that your mothers probably told you. Do not talk with your mouth full and do not use the napkin as a Kleenex. If you have to blow your nose, excuse yourself from the table. As a host, you are also to order the wine, so it's important to know a little bit about wine. You can defer to your guest, but then you may end up with a $300 bottle of wine. If that is not okay, learn about wine. Take an adult class, read books, or gain information from the Internet. You can often look up the restaurant's wine list on their website and research those wines ahead of time. And speaking of liquor, stay sober. If your guests have had too much to drink, you need to make sure that they get home safely. Arrange a taxi to transport them. A meal also provides an opportunity to get to know your guest. So take advantage of it and discuss non-work-related topics. Find areas of common interest. Are you both into sports? Or do you both love to travel? Or have kids in soccer? This will help to create the connection between you. You can bring up the business discussion after the order has been taken, when you usually have an uninterrupted period of time. Once the food arrives, switch to the other topics. You can bring up business again towards the end of the meal. And as a host, you did the inviting, and it is your responsibility to pay the bill. It is much more elegant if the check does not come to the table. Arrange for the restaurant to imprint your credit card ahead of time. You can excuse yourself towards the end of the meal and sign the receipt away from the table. And the final item is to thank your guests for coming, and you are to follow up with any promises you have made. You will appear conscientious if you do. And the last area of business etiquette is what I call techno etiquette, which covers how to communicate politely with all the new technologies that allow us to connect with each other 24/7. Techno etiquette is also the part of etiquette that is evolving all the time, since new technology is appearing all the time. 10 years ago, I didn't talk about BlackBerries. A couple years ago, I didn't talk about Facebook, but I am now. Yet regardless of the technology, there are two key things to consider. What image am I projecting? And how will the way I use the technology affect my customers? I'll start with email, because even though it has been around for a while, business people still make embarrassing mistakes. Emails are sent to wrong addresses, unclear messages create work problems, and messages with mistakes cause the sender to lose credibility. I'll discuss 6 guidelines so your emails send the right message about you. The first is to double-check that you have selected the right recipient. This means you have to pay attention when typing a name from your address book in the to line. It's easy to select the wrong person. In the last month, I have received 2 emails that I shouldn't have. They were sent to me, Barbara Pachter, but they were supposed to go to a different Barbara. Make sure you add the email address only after you have finished writing and proofing the message. You don't want to accidentally send an email before you are ready to do so. Even when you are replying to a message, it's a good precaution to delete the address and insert it once you are sure that the message is ready to be sent. Do not come across as abrupt. Read your message out loud. If it sounds harsh to you, it will sound harsh to the reader. So change your wording. You'll also seem a lot friendlier if you use a salutation and a closing. Pay attention to how the email looks. Make sure your message is easy to read. The general guideline is no more than 25 lines or 1 computer screen. Use short paragraphs and blank lines between them. Long paragraphs are more difficult to read. Also use bullet points when you can. The next item is a question I'm frequently asked. When do you stop the email trail, the back and forth between people? The answer is that you can stop responding when the recipient no longer needs to know your response or that you received the email. You can also ask yourself, is this email necessary? If it's not, don't respond. And the last is to proofread every message. Mistakes will be noticed, and your customers can judge you harshly for making them. They need to trust that you won't make mistakes in your work with them. Cell phones and smartphones, BlackBerries and iPhones, make up the next area of techno etiquette. And people call and text each other, and they respond to their emails at all sorts of inappropriate times and places. There are 3 key suggestions that I'd like to recommend to you. The first is to choose a business ring for your phone. Ideally, your phone shouldn't be ringing when in a meeting with a customer. But if you forget to put your phone on vibrate, having music from Beethoven's Fifth, bum 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 bum, or songs like Dancing Queen from ABBA can startle people. So use a conventional ring. I am amazed that I still need to talk about the next item, and I do. Do not answer your cell phone, or regular phone for that matter, while others are present. It's just rude. You are telling your customers that the person on the phone is more important than they are. And the same is true for texting under the table. People think that they can hide their texting, but it is noticed, and you are telling your customers that the person you are texting is more important than they are. Let's move on to social media. You probably have a website, but should you be on Facebook, LinkedIn, or even Twitter? Should you start a blog? The question for you to think about is whether social media will allow you to establish more of a connection with your customers. If so, it's time to start using social media to promote you and your business. But remember that your present and future customers will notice your sites, and what they see and read can affect their buying decisions. The main etiquette concern about social media is to think before you post. Things you put on your sites can and will come back to haunt you. If you are questioning whether your post is appropriate, ask yourself, would I get into trouble if my mother saw it? If the answer is yes, don't post it. Social media can add a lot to your business. Why not check it out? Follow the etiquette guidelines you've just heard so you present yourself as a polite and polished professional and stand out from your competition. I wish you lots of success. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each presentation. Please feel free to give us a call with your comments. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, please give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963, or check out our website, www.grandyassociates.com. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.